Thank you for tuning in. My name is Nella, and welcome to my podcast, Ethereality. Today's guest is Roland Walters. He had a near-death experience as a young child, but didn't remember it clearly until way later in life he went in for a hypnotherapy session for something completely unrelated, and they unexpectedly took a deep dive into this memory of his near-death experience that ultimately has been incredibly validating and life-changing. Roland, thank you so much for being here. Go ahead and start by sharing your experience.
The event actually happened 50 years ago, and when I was just about turned five. It wasn't until 5 years ago when I went to see a friend and had a hypnotherapy session that was to address dealing with claustrophobia and how it was affecting and causing like a fear of flying. Needless to say, through the hypnotherapy session, none of the claustrophobic or fear of flying even came up. And it was a very long session with her, and everything with this NDE started pouring in. It was clear and everything felt right. And it's like I started remembering as it was coming. So yeah, it was in 2019, right at 5 years ago, when I was reintroduced. But, you know, also I got this feeling that it came back to me when it did, because I was already in a mode of, you know, doing energy work with people. It was almost like validation of what I was doing. I was on the right path, but also it caused me to go back and look at things from a childlike perspective. All this energy, all this knowingness, this vastness that we all have a connection to, just as we become adults, we kind of walk away from. And I do a lot of work with people and actually taking them back to child times, in child memories and child traumas, in addressing energies that way. So it's kind of like all kind of ties it together. It was almost like it was validation, even from the soul work that I was doing. I remember it was in this session and it got started, and I went into, and I was like almost never going to hypnosis. I've tried it several times, and that time it just, everything just clicked and it took off. And next thing you know, it was 2.5 hours later. And it seemed like it was 30 minutes. It was a long time, a lot of information, but. So yeah, in the NDE, you know, I was 4.5 years old. We were on a dairy farm, and I fell in what we call an in-ground silo. And essentially what that means is in-ground bunker that is 100 feet long, 30 feet wide, 9 feet deep, and they're all dirt walls and a concrete floor. I essentially playing around like a kid, and I end up falling over the edge and doing a head dive straight into the concrete. In that bunker area, we call it a silo, as I said, there's corn silo, which is a fermented chopped corn. My brother was then there with a small trailer and a pitchfork, and he was scooping some out. He was that direction, going the other direction away from me. My mom was up towards the cows. He saw me fall, and I guess maybe she did too, but I hit head first. I guess maybe it knocked me out for a bit, but I remember seeing them as a kid. I always remember seeing him and her. And I don't even remember her saying, like, don't touch him, screaming, don't touch him, don't touch him. But I never realized until the NDE came to me that my memory was always looking back, seeing myself in them too. It was never from a position, I'm laying on the ground, I'm looking at the two of them. And it never crossed my mind. I always knew it was that way. I always remember seeing me and seeing them, and actually like looking over and seeing her. But I was never sitting up. I was never really even conscious during that. It was me was pulled out, and it was like I was in this warm yellow light. But I just remember looking over at him and then looking over at her and seeing me. And then all of a sudden the two of them together right at me. So that was one of the things. It was like, wow, that made sense. I wasn't seeing them from laying on the ground. So just immediately from that moment, this warm light didn't like pull me straight up. It's like funny, it just kind of pulled me at an angle, like a 45 degree angle away. And I just remember watching, and it was really warm, really comforting, until I got to the point of going like, where am I going? Throughout my NDE, there were several times where it was like I'd look forward one direction, look back, and everything changes in that instant. And you'll hear it through this NDE, but I remember turning, looking forward, and realizing I was feeling like I was being pulled. And when I looked back, yellow light was gone, and I could still see my parents. I should say my brother and mother, and then eventually my parents, but it's getting further away. But I looked back again, and it'd be this some man pulling me by my left hand. Didn't see his face. He's just like dark hair, darker skin complexion, tannish plain clothes, and he's just walking and pulling me, and he's literally pulling me. And as a kid, I'm starting to pull back, because at this time, I'm now starting to try to go back. I'm literally wanting to go back towards parents. And this is where the part where my mind is really starts to spin, starts really going like, you know, what's going on? Why is this person pulling me? You know, why is this happening? I know a lot of people talk about the NDs where they're very calm, very at ease through the whole thing. This first part of the ND, I wasn't. I was a little confused. And, you know, once again, I wasn't even 5 years old yet. I was a kid, and nobody's talking to me or anything. I'm just being pulled, and it's definitely pulling, and it's not like he's dragging me, because I am walking. Then when I was starting to ask things like, let me go, you know, why won't he let me go? And then I was saying more and more, why won't he let me go? You know, at the same time, Nelly, it was that left hand that he had hold of. It was like this calm sensation running through that, and I could feel it all the way to my chest. But my mind had everything was just going and going and going. And it was just that nervousness and a little bit of fear going on. So there was like two parts. There's two very different stories going on within me. And it seemed like it was so fast, but I knew it was kind of going on for a long period of time. But at one point, he finally stopped. And I think it's because I was in my mind. I wasn't saying this out loud, but I think it's because it was in my mind going, why won't he let me go? Why won't he let me go? And he stopped and turned and looked at me and says, you're not done. And I remember thinking as a kid, like,
done with what?
Done with what, you know? And he turns and he starts walking again. And mind you, in this space we're walking, it's just vastness. We're not walking on a floor. We're not walking on the ground. It's like if you were to take space and you step away from everything, you know, you don't see the earth, you don't see anything. It's just space. It's just vastness. And, you know, it could be the lights of the stars around. We're not floating. We're actually walking, but there's no floor. Everything underneath me and to the side and everything is exactly the same. So it's like we're nowhere, but yet he's just walking. He's steadily going and we're going somewhere. My mind is spinning and I'm uneasy, but yet I feel that calmness and it keeps growing. And it's almost like a tingling in that left hand as well, too. And this is about the time, I believe, when we started seeing, I'll refer to them as souls now. At the time, I just thought they were people that didn't look quite right. They weren't really like in clothes. They were just souls, the energies coming, but they were also not like what we would think of bright white souls. A lot of these were darker colors, dark grays, dark blues and oranges and reds, all very dark. And they kept coming closer and closer. And at first it was just like a handful. And literally, so if you're walking along, you can imagine they're kind of funneling down from both sides to us. And as they get to us, they're really leaning in and like looking at us and, you know, looking at him, they're leaning in, looking at me. And I just remember as a kid feeling uneasy. The further we went, I come to realize it was their feelings I was feeling. Because this calmness was still coming into me, but as I looked at them, I could tell they weren't happy. They weren't at peace, and they were looking for something. At the time, as a kid, I really wasn't getting that too much. Anyway, so the numbers keep growing and keep growing, and I'm no longer back towards home because I can't see that anymore. I'm looking at him, and I'm getting nervous because of them, because of these souls, and all of a sudden he stops and he starts pointing to them and he says to me, they're waiting for you. And, you know, if you can imagine his kids going, this is kind of spooky. It's almost like ghost-like, you know, it's kind of a sensation feeling. Yeah. It's like, I'm not real comfortable with this, but, you know, they're not really spooky. And he would kind of turn to me and almost kind of like kneel down or something when he'd say something. It's almost like he started to get up and go again. And he makes this comment about turning from souls to people. And then he says, earth souls to help lost souls. Nella, I'd be lying if I just tell you if I had figured that out completely, because I haven't. But it's just one of those things he said. And then we take off again. Somewhere in that time frame is when I started realizing that as they passed us, they were changing. They were brightening up. They were becoming lighter in color. So if they were blue, they became a brighter blue. And it wasn't like they were blasting bright, bright, but it's just they lightened up. You know, it's like the colors got a little brighter. Or if they were just gray, they became a little more whiter. They went from staring us down and looking at us to, as soon as they passed and the colors changed, they were looking at each other, and it's like looking at their hands and looking at stuff. Two or three of them would leave together as if they were talking and walking and leaving, and it was just, they would just move on. And it was at that point also when I realized the change in the energy, the amount of energy that was happening right in that center. It was just felt like something was moving, something was happening. I remember looking at him going, he's not doing anything. He's still walking. He's not even looking at him. He's just, you know, doing his thing. Also, at that time, I realized that I'm not resisting him. He's still holding on to my hand, but we're walking. It's like I'm walking with him, like, you know, like a son walking with a father, just walking right along. I'm not pulling back. I'm not looking anywhere else. Well, I am looking anywhere else, but I'm not looking to go somewhere else, I should say. Also, in that time frame is when I was starting to say, you know, why me? He was going back to they're waiting for you. It was running through my mind, and the whole time the mind is spinning, and I'm still asking all these questions and wondering what's going on. And that's where he gets to the point where he stops and looks at me again and says, I chose you. And we're looking at these souls, and he says that he, you know, I chose you. And we're just kind of sitting there. But when he did say he chose me, I remember it calmed me a lot. It's like everything kind of shifted. In other words, that energy that was here kind of went everywhere. And I would say it's almost like it felt more natural being in that space, but not really. It just, that was the difference in the calming. It was like everything was at ease, like this is okay. Almost like saying when you feel like you're almost like at home now, that kind of a feeling. Then he speaks up and he says, you were there in the beginning. Doesn't say anymore, gets up and turns and starts walking. Once again, I'm kind of looking back and forward, and I'm still watching them change and can feel all this energy. I could feel the heaviness of them coming at me, which was what initially spooked me, I would say, you know, had me on edge and uneasy. But when I look back, it was so much lighter. It's just peaceful. They were at ease and they were calm and they were brighter. The rest of the walk in that time, it was just like me enjoying watching them change. It was very intriguing. It was no longer where we're going. It was like, wow, look at this. You know, I was still amazed because look at him, and he's not looking back at nothing. He's just like going on, and I look forward and I realize he's walking in front of me. He's no longer holding my hand, and I'm walking with him. A little off to the side, but behind him. And then this is when I noticed there were two lines of people in a B formation in front of him, wearing white robes. They were acting like a divider for this crowd of souls that just got bigger and bigger and bigger. It went from, like, you know, this small funnel to all this huge, it's like as far as you could see. Before, they would come in very close to us. But now with this V formation, they were being pushed much further back. Nothing really changed. We just kept walking the same speed. There's always the question was in my mind, where are we going? What are we doing? What's happening? But these people were just in these white robes, and they're just walking and splitting, you know, the crowd up, and we're just moving right along. And it's like, okay, we're just walking. So I looked back again just to watch, see what was happening. And then when I turned around, all that was gone. Every bit of it was gone. And I was just standing in kind of like a little, I want to call it a valley. It's almost like a big grassy area in amongst of a circle of trees, half grassy, half dirt soil, but it was just an open area like you see on somewhere in the U.S. in the summertime, calm evening, not walking. I mean, this has gone from this vastness of nothingness to like an earth scene. In front of me, there is people, and they're in a ring, in a circle. And mind you, the circle, I told this before, is maybe 25 to 30 feet in diameter. And in front of these people is a ring of stones, all about baseball size. And in that ring is another ring of stones about 2 to 3 feet. Let's say maybe 3 feet in diameter.
So what kind of stones? Were they just like regular rocks, crystal stones or anything?
No, they were just rocks, you know.
Okay. Like
if you envision somebody finding stones for a fire out in camping, you know, but they're all like baseball size, and it's just nice ring of stones. And and these people were just circling around it, and there was 11 people there, and the smaller ring was maybe 3 feet in diameter, and I'm on the outside of them, and so I'm looking at their backs, and of course, like being a kid and anybody else would, I'm looking around like, what happened? This, you know, we were in one spot, now we're here. And all those times I looked around behind me, when I looked forward, I was in the center ring. I didn't walk to it. I don't know. It's just like, how am I being moved from one place to another? Is some of the things running through my mind, but I'm in the center ring. And now I'm looking around, and all these individuals are facing me, all wearing white robes, men and women both. They're all wearing a medallion hanging from their neck, and it all hits them about right, like it's sitting right at the heart chakra area. I'm feeling fairly calm with that, but my mind is still asking questions like, what's going on? Why, you know, what is this? What happened to the other guy? You know, things like that. But I wasn't so nervous. I wasn't so upset. And then what appeared to be the main guy, I realized he's looking right at me, and he starts coming towards me. It's like he walks straight into the circle and walks straight towards me. As he gets closer to me, I feel even more calm. But what was even more intriguing was my fingers, my hands, and my arms started tingling, just tingling and tingling, tingling. He's looking at me, and I remember he's like asking me or telling me to follow these hand movements that he's doing. Now, honestly, I don't remember anything with the hand movements, because I was just so intrigued with this tingling that was just going on. And it was all this energy. It was just, I'm looking at him, and I realize he's got this glow about him. He's literally doing something, kind of waving the hands. And I don't know if he was giving up on me doing it because I wasn't doing it. But then he just said, hold your hands out to the side. Not straight out, but kind of down at an angle at the side. The energy just started getting stronger, and the tingling started running through my whole body. And I was just like, wow, what is this? You know, and everything's tingling and everything's happening. I'm looking at my body and I'm feeling stuff. And I want to look up at him and realize with this glowing, I couldn't see his face anymore. He's like, this whole area is just glowing and glowing, and I couldn't see him. And I'm watching him, and then I realize he's backing up to his place, his position where he was at. And the tingling in me is getting stronger. That's about the time this bolt of light came down and hit me from straight on. And it was just like this massive jolt. I remember being disoriented. To me, it seemed like several moments. I don't know how long it actually was. It was just all this energy and all this light was spinning around, and everything was happening. When I felt like I got my wits about me, or however you want to say it, I realized that group, it was walking away from me now. They've exited the circle and they were walking away together. So basically I'd been out of it long enough for them to go past me and was out of the circle and has already moved on a ways. And the mind was going everything, but it was, what was that? What's going on? Where are they going? What am I doing now? But it wasn't a nervousness like in the first half of the NDE. This was just like, wow, you know, what's happening now? What's next?
More curiosity.
And you know, because that was actually very cool. It was very calming, the whole thing. I had no idea what was going on. I got to see their medallions on that one guy. I missed that. I still don't know what they quite mean, but it was two circles, just like the ring of rocks, but it was like a hammered metal, like copper or bronze or something. It's what it looked like. And every one of them had one in the same spot. And I still don't know what those mean or symbolism, but they were very much there. But like I said, it was 11 of those people. But yeah, Nell, it came down another one of those things where I'm looking around again and looking back and forth, trying to see who's coming around, and everything shifted again. Everything just like in that immediate moment, I'm back into that vastness with that guy, the original guy. That's when I got the better look of his face. Now, I got to look at him before, but once again, my focus wasn't the greatest. And we're just kind of standing there. I don't know, I'm just there, not really knowing what's going on. And he's starting to let me know it's time for me to go back.
If you're getting any value out of this podcast, please hit that like button and subscribe. Also, if you've enjoyed my content before, or maybe you're new here, but you like it, drop a comment and let me know you're here. I would love to get to know my audience. Thank you for listening, and let's get back to the content.
I wasn't talking. I guess I was thinking this, but I wasn't thinking about a lot of things, but I guess he must have knew what I was thinking, because I remember I wasn't seeing anything. I had this uneasiness about going back, and it wasn't about going back and being in the home or being the kid or whatever. I just remember him telling me these souls were here for me, you know, they were looking for me, kind of a thing. I remember thinking, this is too much, because I don't know what all this means, what's going on. But he's telling me this, but I don't think we're actually talking. It's like we were just in our minds, and he's saying it's time to go back. And then all of a sudden he goes, it's okay, you can do it. And the first thing that came to my mind is, what is it? What is this it I'm doing? It's like he stood up, you know, I glanced at him, and then I looked forward, like in the direction he was looking, and then that's when I was back. In that moment, that's when I was back. We were getting out of the car. I think like my mom picked me up, or I don't know, one of my parents picked me up because dad was driving, mom was sitting in the passenger side. They took me into the small town doctor's office, and I was back in that whole event. And I remember being exhausted for like the next 2 days, but it was one of those weird things. I took this fall straight down on the concrete in my head and didn't need stitches. I didn't, you know, it was nothing happened, no broken bones, nothing. And it was just, they sent me home. Took this fall and took me out for a little while, and then I was back into this. But I just remember really being out of it. And I remember that time in the doctor's office, they had this back door where we came in at, and it was a warm summer evening, and they said, sit on the stairs there, and I'm going to talk to your parents. And I just remember it was just like, what the heck was all this? You know, at the time, afterwards, I thought it was just over the fall, but now I think it was because at that time I was still remembering this, because it was just, all this was going on. And I remember everything looked different at that time. But then every time I lost it, I guess, you know, I'd forgotten it until this came through. But I will tell you, at the hypnotherapy session, when the shock of light came down and hit, apparently I must have felt it again, because my hypnotherapist said I came off the table about 2 feet, or 2 inches rather. I'm sorry, not 2 feet, 2 inches. And said it caused her to jump back because it scared her so bad.
Wow.
But I didn't know it. And she said, your whole body just came off the table about 2 inches. And she just pushed back. So apparently I felt it again. So anyway, that's the NDE. That's what happened.
To discover all that in the hypnotherapy session, and then for it to come together and create those clicks in combination with the memories that you do still have, and then comes full circle, and it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
It does. You know, it's taken a little while. It's been almost 5 years since the hypnotherapy session, but the early part of my NDE, you know, I still at times struggle to remember what was said and what was done, but it's like the second half I can remember fine. My mind was going, it's like my mind was fighting the energy that was coming in, and I wasn't allowing it. I could feel it, but the mind was still questioning and doubting and questioning and getting in the way. And I got that calmness in my hand and all the way up to my chest and the heart area, but the mind is constantly going, why me? What's going on? You know, I don't understand it. The busy mind is diverting us from the feeling. You know, we're in our minds and not in our hearts and not in that feeling. So it's kind of like, it's the first half of the NDE is literally showing, if you just let go, you'll feel this. I was so in my mind that I'm missing what's happening, and that's why I struggle with remembering it.
Yeah. Whereas
once I heard him say, and he looked at me and said, I chose you, then it's like I remember calming down quite a bit, and I still was questioning some things, but it wasn't the same. It's like I started paying attention, not worrying about what's going on with me, but what's going on around and things, and then the more calm I got, the more I noticed, and then more I remember. And then into the later part, I just kept getting more calm, and it was just more energy just kept coming. In the early part of the NDE, I was being pulled, but I would, you know, early part I was looking back at my parents, you know, and then I look forward as to why I'm being pulled. It's like we're wondering what's coming at us in the future, and always focusing on what's behind us, and not just, you know, in that moment. So essentially now I was doing the same thing, and still, instead of just understanding and let it flow. And actually I remember it better now after I realized my mind has been getting in the way from the other many podcasts I've done. is what we do. We get our mind in the way and we just don't allow what is the natural to come in. So I think this is, you know, a lot of the work on my part and in working with people and everybody else out there is that message is like, get out of our way. And we've always heard that, you know, get out of our minds and let it happen, let it be, or just be.
Yeah, I mean, it's that holy surrender, you know, the surrendering to the experience instead of that hyper analytical part of our consciousness, like the ego that's trying to pick apart and understand and label and identify everything. And especially outside of the dimension that you were used to operating in, you know, and then trying to label something that you have no frame of reference, that would be mentally exhausting. Do you consider your NDE a distressing near-death experience?
The first half was fairly distressing. The second half was not. But it's only distressing because I allowed it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was your hyper-analyzing that created the confusion rather than just surrendering to the experience.
Yeah, I think I'm coming to realize that our busy mind is just a diversion to keep us from feeling. You know, as long as our mind is going, is busy, and we find something else to keep it busy with, or we end up getting a stockpile of stuff already in our mind that we keep rotating it around and around and around, yeah, it doesn't allow us to stop and feel. So it's very much a diversion. And, you know, it also goes back to we so much live in the past or in the future, and that mind keeps us there. And that's part of the spinning. And if we can slow the mind down, then we can allow ourselves to feel. And sometimes we just need to feel that even the stuff that's not good, so we can realize that it's there, acknowledge it, be aware of it.
Especially the things that are not good.
For several years, I couldn't figure out who the guy was that was pulling me in the NDE. And I know a lot of people see different individuals and stuff in NDEs, but there's the artist. I don't even know if I'm saying her name properly or not, because I've never heard it said. I've only read it. But it's something like Akain Kramerick. She painted a portrait. I guess she worked on it for a year or so when she was like 7, 8, 9 years old or something. And it's Prince of Peace. It was what she saw of Jesus that came to her. And it's like this big thing, like the size of a wall. I don't even know the size of it. And I know I'm not giving credit to her name or her work like I should be. But I just remember it coming up on the internet one day. And I just like her story was interesting. And then when I saw the painting, it was like, oh, crap, that's him.
That's the same guy.
Yeah, the Jesus that she saw, and I know we can see different versions of him and he can come into us in different ways, just like any spirit can. But it wasn't the long hair Jesus. It was this guy that's, you know, maybe you'd say Middle Eastern, you know, curlier hair, shorter hair, you know, dark complexion. But it was like, that was him. I mean, it was no questioning. That was him. And it was just like a shocker. But my work, even before the hypnotherapy brought back the NDE, I was being led back to taking people back to emotional wounds, looking at them as energies, because they are energies. We, even as a soul, we hold on to them from one life to the next. It pulls us down. It keeps our vibration in a low spot. It's not really high or low. It just keeps us in a vibration that we shouldn't be at. But it also keeps us in a vibration that keeps us mind on the negative. It keeps us mind, you know, in doubt or not believing ourselves. And more importantly, keeps us from seeing the light that is in us or the light that's in others. A lot of this, I think the NDE was also showing me or reminding me that, like, okay, you're on the right track. But also it felt like it was telling me you're not quite getting it just yet. So I'm still working on the part of, you know, that. But, you know, it's some validation in the work. But yeah, it's getting out of our minds and also realizing that wounding that we're carrying is part of our trouble with our minds too. So it's almost like a vicious circle. You know, we get up, but if we can stop it for long enough and allow ourselves to feel and be in that moment, then we can acknowledge it and let it go and move on.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So this was all a hypnotherapy session to face your fear of flying. Do you still have a fear of flying?
I don't know, because I haven't tested it. I started getting really ramped up on any kind of closed spaces even more. And I had a problem with one flight. And literally, it's like when they closed the door on the plane, It's like everything was kind of closing in. But I also realized part of that was my own emotional stuff I hadn't dealt with that was building up and building up. But I'm hoping it's not going to be an issue, because one of the things I've dealt with over the years is just being in like elevators. And right now, elevators don't bother me at all. So
that's good.
But I haven't tested the flight.
The flying thing yet.
It's time for me too. It's time.
Yes. So I have never had any hypnotherapy session or past life regression or anything to that extent. I thought it was interesting that you had said you had done it multiple times and never had any sort of actual hypnotic experience. So yeah. I'm curious what that felt like. Did you have a full awareness while you were having this experience, or were you sort of just so fully immersed in this experience that you were reliving that you had forgot that you were in a hypnotherapy room?
A little bit of both on your question there. In the beginning, I was very much still in the room, and it was just, there was stuff coming in, and what was happening, I was saying what I was seeing out loud to the hypnotherapist and what I was feeling, and she would make a comment. So I knew I would hear her comments from time to time. Or maybe she'd ask a question just to kind of keep guiding me through the hypnotherapy. And it was just, and it was before, you know, the light shocked me that then I didn't realize I was in the hypnotherapy room. So it's like it started it and then it got deeper and deeper. But she said I kept telling the story. I kept going on with it. Don't really remember the zap of the light and jumping, you know, on the table. But when it was kind of all said and done, I was back into just the memory of being in the doctor's office. Then I was back. So yeah, it was a little bit of both, as you're asking. It got pretty deep for a while there.
So you said you were seeing these things, like a visual, right? With your eyes closed, I imagine. Was it kind of like seeing things in a dream, or like if you were to lay down and do a visualization, what did the images in your mind look like? Did it feel like you were there?
Yeah, definitely felt like I was there, because I was feeling just like the evening scene when all those individuals, those 11 people in the white robes are in the circle. It felt like a cool summer evening. I wasn't hearing anything like you would hear, like birds or insects or anything like that. It wasn't even a wind blowing, but it was just this cooler, you know, just like the environment, the whole feeling, maybe the humidity and everything else too. But I was feeling, so it wasn't like a dream, and it was like you're journeying, not really a past life regression or something, but you're literally journeying and you're following the story. And I honestly felt like I was, you know, being led through the whole thing. But no, I felt the energies. I could feel my nervousness. So yeah, it wasn't quite like a dream.
Have you put much thought into who these people were? You said there was, what, 11 or 12 of them? I can't remember.
It's 11 of them.
Yeah. 11. See, I've heard people talk about like the Council of 12.
Well, I've had other people make comments of the 12 apostles and the Council of 12. And I've had other people share their opinions of things after hearing my story. People come and ask me if I was one of the apostles. Like, I don't know. You know, that's... You know, everybody probably has had experience with that at some way in a past life, you know, going through a different dimension or what have you. But so really, Nella, I don't have an answer. That part hasn't come clear to me, but it was definitely 11 people. And even in the formation of the V in front of us, the main guy was in the front and five on each side. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to find out, honestly.
The main guy, Jesus?
No.
No, okay. Jesus wasn't present when it turned into the 11.
Mm-mm,
no. Okay.
He was before. He was the one that was pulling me. And he was the one afterwards.
So how did you feel about Jesus after you learned that he was present in that experience?
In my journey of religion and spirituality, I became an atheist early on, like age 10. A lot of stuff didn't feel right when I heard comments, you know, from... You know, Southern Baptist side, that where I'm from, that side of Christianity, a lot of things just didn't feel right. So I know a lot of people would say at 10 years old, you didn't know what you're talking about, but I still took the stance of atheism, and I stayed that way until, I don't know, maybe about 30, and then I kind of switched to agnostic. But I remember having somebody ask me one time when I was still an atheist, did I believe in Jesus? And I told them then, I said, yeah. that I believe to be true. And I remember telling him, I don't believe a lot of the stories that are said, but I believe he was somebody that was connected spiritually somehow more than the rest of us. And I just remember that person going, that makes no sense. You know, why would you believe that and not believe in a higher spirit, higher God or something? So to answer your question, it was almost like that made sense. That makes more sense to me. So how I felt about him really didn't change the simplicity of it, you know, the truth and simplicity and just allowing, just being, versus a lot of magical stories or something. It was just kind of, we all have this, and we do, we all have this. So it just felt right. It felt normal. When you said how I felt about Jesus, that's, I guess, what I mean.
Do you feel like you have some kind of relationship or connection with Jesus?
I've got another friend who has said that she can never remember my name, but she always calls me Thomas. And known her for a couple years now. And if she messages me, whatever, she'll call me Thomas or we talk. And finally, she used to apologize. She said, I just can't remember your name, so I'll call you Thomas. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And she knows my name fully now, but she ended up finally telling me, she said, you want to know why I call you Thomas? I said, yeah. She said, because she said, I was told you're doubting Thomas. You at one time played the part of doubting Thomas, one of the apostles.
That would make sense with the statement of you were there in the beginning. Actually, when you said that, I was thinking about like the beginning of, you know, creating humanity. But then I actually had a thought right after that of like, that also could just mean in the beginning of Jesus, you know, with the apostles and stuff. So it's funny that you just pointed that out, because that was a thought that I had earlier in this conversation.
So I think, Nella, we all were there in the beginning, because it's this feeling, it's this sense that, you know, we as souls were like sparks off the divine, off of source God, whatever you want to say. And we were all there in the beginning, all of us. So I don't want to sit here and say, you know, me, I was, you know, one of those in the beginning, because I think we all were there in the beginning. And I think sometimes those comments just need to be said or heard, because we all were, you know, and that helps us to go back to looking at the light within me, the light within you. We all have that same light. I don't have anything special over anybody else. But could I have been one of the apostles? Maybe, but also have a belief that why couldn't we all have had a chance or had a round at experiencing that? You know,
I've had that thought too.
Why can't we all have that chance, that experience in, you know, multiple dimensions and in multiple directions? Or maybe just the possibility of all of us experiencing it. You know, why not? There's too many times where people say, I met Jesus, or I experienced this, or especially Jesus comes up a lot, you know, and there's jokes about how, you know, he's with everybody's indie, or he's with everybody's experience or something. It's like, why not? If that's something we can relate to, and it brings us back to the oneness, or brings us back to looking within, even some of the messages, like I talk to people, it's like, you know, the one that stuck with me with one of his comments through Christianity is, we were never meant to carry these burdens. You know, it's that information, is why can't we all experience it? So do I feel like I have a connection? I think we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, or the Christ, not even named Jesus, but the Christ is, mm-hmm, within all of us. If you want to really take it to a bigger picture. So how I saw him in this NDE versus somebody else may seem differently. There's not a right or wrong. It just is, you know, that's how it comes across to us. But the bottom line is the Christ consciousness. And that's, I believe, in the light in all of us. So in a sense, we're all that Christ.
Absolutely.
But we all have that. We're all part of that oneness. My triangle that I am is not something I made up. It's what was sent to me several times. It was sent to me several times in meditation. And it was because I didn't take it on, and it just kept getting more aggressively sent to me until I finally took it on and drew it out, and you know, ended up having somebody, you know, draw it out more correctly for me. But I believe that I am is like the Christ consciousness, that oneness is within all of us. That's part of my work, is to get everybody to see that, realize that we are part of that I am, that oneness.
If you had somebody in front of you who you just wanted them to have one takeaway that could really help them, what do you want to do here? How do you want to impact people?
To tie it in, maybe all of that, because I can say a lot of things. I can say to a person, you know, that they're loved, always have been and always will be, and that they've never been alone. But what it really comes down to, I believe, for me is I want to help that person see their light. I want them to be able to look and see their light and feel their love for themselves as they are. Because when they see their light, then they can see the light in everybody else. And when you can see the light in everybody else, you're less likely to judge. You're less likely to be, you know, critical in any way or fearful. We all still are humans and going to go through our woundings and our journeys and our, you know, we made our choices on certain lives we've taken. But yeah, for me, it's for them to see that light. Most of us have forgotten it. You know, we're so buried in our woundings or our busy mind that we think we're all separate, we're different, or we're more special, or we're not good enough, we're not worthy, and it's all bullshit. It's just emotional baggage, it's emotional wounding, it's, you know, even the busy mind is emotional energies that's got you believe you need to do this or do that, or, you know, to make something yourself or to prove yourself, and it's like, no, we don't. Now, we can do these things just because we want to be part of something, but not because we have to, or we've got to, or even for greed or anything else, and all that's emotions. So yeah, it's to help the person see their light, see the light within, you know, stop looking without and look within, see that light and feel the love for yourself. Then you can see that light and feel the love for others.
That is so needed right now. Our society has snuffed out a lot of lights, but I do feel like the more people like us, you know, who come together and have these conversations and put in that work, you know, in connecting with people, in helping them see that light, I do feel like we have the capability of turning that around.
We do. And, you know, it's the awareness of all this, that we're not different, acknowledging it, accepting it, allowing it. It's like 4 A's I always tell people is, you know, but our first step is the awareness. I don't have anything on anybody. I have no special abilities or, you know, that, I mean, everybody has this connection. It's just, we look outside of ourselves too much. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I have to remind myself to go, you know, look back in instead of looking out for answers.
So that's a good reminder.
Yeah.
That we all have the answers within ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, what you're looking for, or what I'm looking for, or what I'm to learn here, or you're to learn here, doesn't mean it's going to be the same thing. But we're all still connected to that same source of information and energy. And it's, there is no separation. There is none. It's, we're all, no matter what you do, or what color you are, or what language you speak, where you're from, we're all the same. You know, deep down in, we're that light.
Yes. Yes, thank you so much for making time with me today to have this conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate your opportunity to chat with you on this. Even if only one person watches it and it helps that person, then wonderful. That's, you know, that makes a difference.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. If you loved this episode, please consider leaving a review. If you're listening on YouTube, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe so we don't lose each other. And just share the link with somebody who can appreciate this message. Blessings to you all, and I hope to catch you on my next episode.